God bless you. Good morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everyone. Amen. Let's all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning. We'll ask Brother Josh Chow if he could lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
And worship you, Father, Lord, with everything that we have, Father. Yes. And now, Lord, as we're here for this Sunday school, we thank you for the safe trip you've given us, Lord, coming here, Father, Lord. We pray for those, Lord, who are on their way here, Father, Lord. May you keep them on the roads, Lord. And, Lord, as we come, Lord, to hear your servant today, Lord, speak to us, Father, Lord. May you, Lord, come and take charge of this Sunday school, Father, Lord. Yes. May you, Lord, speak to our hearts, Father, Lord. May we hear from you today, Father, Lord. And Lord, may you prepare our hearts, Father, Lord, to receive your word, Father, Lord. May it be, Lord, good soil, Father, Lord, yes, to have your word grow, Father, Lord, and change our lives, Father, Lord. May we, yes, apply, Lord, your word into our lives, Father, Lord, and let us, Lord, live it, Father, Lord. Yes. Not just have knowledge of it, Father, Lord, but live it in everything that we do, Lord. Yes. We ask you, Lord, that you guide us, Lord, be with us this day, Lord, in your precious holy name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If we can turn our Bibles to the book of Revelations, chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. Maybe a little bit more volume. Just a little bit. We'll see. Okay, I think that's good. Revelations chapter 1, starting with verse 1. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Praise the Lord. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. We're going to read one more scripture if we can here in Revelations chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. Revelations chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'd like to continue on. We had a series that we started called The Character of Christ. And so this is the subsequent part, I think it's part 4. And so we'd want to delve into this a little bit more. And, you know, it's a little bit tough when you do that series and then you have to a break for a month and then to restart it again. So to dig back into the Word, and I really wanted to ensure that the Lord wanted me to continue on this. And so I felt in my heart that just to continue on, but sometimes you may lose a little bit just because of human memory, I guess. But I trust that we can dig back into it and continue on where we left off. One of the things that I was able to do is, how many has read this book here, the Seven Church Age book? It's okay if you haven't, just wanted to get an indication. So the Seven Church Age book is very good in that it covers a lot of the major pieces of the message, and it goes through it using this scripture in Revelations chapter 1 through 3 as a basis. And so when you go through it, as you're going through each of the church ages, a lot of the major doctrines that we understand in the message are talked about in detail and with the associated scriptures. So it's very good for a study. And we know that Brother Branham wanted to preach the seven church ages. And we know that's in, for those who are not aware of that, that's Revelations chapter 2 through 3. And we see that there are seven different church ages. And so there's characteristics for those. And we know in the natural sense, those cities were in Asia Minor, we call it, or Turkey, today's Turkey. And so each of those cities had a history and a background that had a characteristic that matched a specific church age. And so God had it that way. So a normal reader could say, like, well, he's talking about church history in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, but it was a little bit deeper than that. Because we know that God's words are eternal, and we know that Revelations is a prophetic book. And so the things that are in here, that the time they were written had not come to pass. And so it was a book of prophecy saying what is to come. And so we know that Revelations is very difficult for a lot of people to understand in the church world. And a lot of people don't even try to read it because of all the symbology and different things. But you see, the word of God is hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed to babes, such as we learned. That's a scripture, right? So he's looking for a heart that has a readiness to learn and to put aside all that they've ever learned and obey and listen to the voice of God. And so if we have that right type of attitude, then God will reveal and open it up to us, right? And so the two scriptures that are or the two books of the Bible that are most debated in the church world are the book of Revelations and the book of Genesis. Why? Because Satan doesn't want you to understand it. Because in Genesis, it tells actually where he came from. So the Genesis, so if you understand where he came from, you know how to fight him, right? And so now then you look in Revelations, it's showing what is to come. And part of that is the destruction of the devil. And so he doesn't like that either. And so he's going to fight those two and try to discredit those two books more than any other. So you take that in your mind. If you have not noticed it, then you go back out and you see that there is a confusion with those two books. And it's because the devil is trying to confuse the people about the book. But God opens it up to us. And you don't have to be smart to see it. You just have to have a willing heart. And so you actually, if you even are smart, that sometimes can help take you away from it sometimes, because with the smarts, it gears you towards intellectual thinking. So you have to fight that, right? And I think it was good, Brother Stephen Francis on Wednesday, how he went through things, because he was talking about what God was trying to get us out of, and it is the human thinking, right? And if you look in Revelations 2 and 3, in the church ages, there's two different paths that are shown in there. There's the true church path, or the path of the elect, or the spiritual bride. And then there's the natural, the carnal, or the other side, the false church, right? And so you see those two things are at work, but you see that when you're reading in the Revelation chapter 2 and 3, it talks about the Antichrist spirit, how it's working within the framework of the church, right? And so that way, or that Antichrist spirit, is actually human thinking. So if you look at the word Nicolaitanism, and how many knows that word? I don't need to put people, but I just like to get feedback. So Nicolaitanism is conquer the laity. So we know what the word conquer is, and laity is the congregation. And so the devil was trying to figure out a way to conquer the congregation. So he saw a move of God in the book of Acts, and how they received the Holy Ghost. And when you read the book of Acts, it's so fantastic about how God came in such a power that he transformed those individuals from normal human beings to supernatural human beings. And it wasn't a slow progression, but instantly on the day of Pentecost, when they received the Holy Ghost, they received power immediately. And there were signs and wonders, and the love of God was shed abroad in their hearts, where they gave up everything and they shared everything. And so we know that the book of Acts represents the original church. And so God, when he starts something, he starts it right. And so that sets the original pattern for everything that's to follow. Because God is infinite, so he knows the beginning from the end. So when he starts something, it is correct from the beginning. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't get better with time. He starts correctly. Now when we look in the book of Revelation, so the church began to die down little by little because of man's doctrine getting in it, man's thinking. And you begin to get people into the church that had a man-made understanding and inject little different things into the church. And so those little things started to become bigger and bigger. And as they became bigger, then they began to grow until when it was fully manifested, it doesn't look anything like the original. And so Brother Bram says, the little foxes is what spoils the vine. So you've got to watch those little things, because those are the things that's going to bite you. Those are the things that are going to sneak up on you. Have you ever heard of the term in the work world about the little details will get you? They say the devil's in the details, right? And so if you're planning something and you know you don't get these details right, it could prevent the whole project or the plan from executing correctly, right? So you've got to get you've got to see these things. And God gives us spiritual discernment. You all know what discernment is. Discernment is the ability to discern or know right from wrong. And so we, before we came to the Lord, were confused. We didn't know what was right and what was wrong. And some of us were in denominations thinking that this is the way that we've got to worship God. You know, all we have to do is come to church, put our name on the book, shake the pastor's hand, pay our tithes, and we're good to go. We're going to heaven, right? And so there was a confusion there. And so when somebody brought in a truth to you, then you start to get confused and you have a war within you, right? And you know that when God blows a trumpet, the trumpet is a voice of God. When you heard that voice of God, it started a war within inside of you. And so you are happy, go lucky and everything in the path that you were going, and then God struck something and then it made you question everything that you had learned up to that time. And so God was starting to bring you out of your darkness, of your chains and the prison that you were in, to bring you into freedom, right? And so the world is, of course, they're trying to confuse you and say, that's not freedom. This is not freedom that that we live. Freedom is doing whatever you want. And so that's bondage, because what is the end of it? It's destruction. You know, if you want to do drugs and you want to do all the worldly things, and what is the end of all that? It is a miserable life, depression, and destruction of your entire life. But if you follow this path, then what is it going to lead to? Not only happiness, joy, and love, and all those things, but eternal life, right? And so the devil is always trying to put the wool over our eyes to what God is doing. And so we've got to, we've been given this way by grace. And so the only way you know, and you, the Word of God, and how you know all these mysteries and truths is by God's grace. So God knew your heart from the beginning, because God knows everything. He knows the beginning, he knows the middle, he knows the end, and he saw you across time, and he looked at your heart, and he knew that you would be receptive, and therefore that he could predestinate you to be a child of God. And so therefore he gave you grace. And so when you were down and you were not even looking for God, then he sent grace. He sent a voice of God to wake you up and to come to this light, right? But you didn't deserve it. You weren't looking for it. But it was only the grace of God, right? And so we always have a choice, though. When that comes down, it's very different from what you have thought previously. And so that is the ways of God from the world. It's so different that you question it and you go, is this right? But you see that if God speaks to your heart, then something rings inside. You say, my mind says this is weird, but something inside says deeper that this is correct. Amen. And so that is the word of God when it spoke to you in a revelation and pierced your heart. And so it was contrary to everything inside of you except what was in your soul. And then you said, I don't know what this is, but I know it's correct. And I want to know more of it and have more of it, right? And so that's when you began this pursuit. And then as you were going along, then you still had these thoughts in your mind. Is there really a prophet? Am I following a cult? You know, what is this? What is the difference between baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and baptism in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? What's the difference? And so you had these questions in your mind. And so God was pulling you from your heart. And so your mind was trying to, it was going the opposite direction, right? And so you had to reconcile the two. And sometimes you went this way, and sometimes you went this way, and you were kind of miserable in a lot of ways, right? But and you were not at peace. But as God began to move inside of you, then faith began to take more of a hold, and all these things, and then what was inside began to overcome the things that are in the outside, right? And so it's, what is God doing? He's trying to clear out that unbelief. And so that man-made thinking that's there, he's trying to clear it out. And so the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We know that. And so what is sin? Unbelief. And so when you believed in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, and you had a revelation of it, then you held on to what he did on the cross, and that blood begins to cleanse you of your unbelief. Because what we're trying to attain into is a world of perfect faith, where there is no doubt, no man-made thinking. It is all pure reliance and trust in God. Amen. And so you have doubts sometimes. You know, it comes into your mind because, you know, you want to be healed, but then there's something that says, you know, I looked at the doctor's report and it said this. But then God says, I am the healer that heals all your disease. And so there's a contradiction there, right? And so which one are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the word of God, or are you going to believe what you heard from the doctor, right? And so now we're relying on faith, and God is wanting to increase your faith inside. And so what increases your faith is the word of God, because the word is God. And so the more you're in Christ, he is faith, he is love, he is all these different things. And so if you're more exposed to him and in that world, then it will remove all those different things. And so if you're in deep prayer, you know that you have a different atmosphere around you, and you're not thinking about the things of the world, and you're losing those cares, those worries that you have, you know, whatever, I've got this tomorrow, I've got this tomorrow. All that stuff just fades away. You don't care about it anymore. You know, there's so many things that we worry about and care about that really mean nothing at all. You know, we care about this situation over here in the news. We care about this and what's going on here. When you look at all of that, you know, in the big scheme of things in Christ, none of that really matters. Now, we want to know what are certain things that are happening because modern events are made clear by prophecy, right? And so God told a prophet about different things that were going to happen in the future. And so we want to see the fulfillment of those scriptures. But you see, that's not what's going to save you. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a relationship, brothers and sisters. It's not a knowledge. It's not facts. But it is a true relationship. You see, God wanted from the beginning to have a relationship with you. And he was yearning for that. It was in his heart. He yearns to have fellowship with you. He yearns to talk to you, spend time with you, have a, you know, and when we have that fellowship with him, we feel the connection. And we feel at peace, and we feel joy, and we feel at rest, and all these different things. But Satan's trying to unlock that or break that, right? And so he's trying to do that with you and I here. Even today, he's trying to break something between you and I, you, each other, and different things, because he doesn't like fellowship. He doesn't like relationship. And so he's trying to put things in between each one of us. Whether it's like some thought that's not even true or fact, but says like, I think your brother was talking about you. You see, they were over there in the parking lot, and then they looked your way, and then they kept talking. And so the devil puts that in your mind. You don't even have the truth on that, right? You don't. And so you're starting to think, oh, he was looking at me. They were talking. And then you start imagining things like, maybe it was this that I was doing the other day. And so completely out there, right? They could have been talking about some other subject, and he was thinking, one gentleman was thinking, so he looked this way, and it happened to be your direction. And so you have zero truth, but yet you come up with that in your mind, and then you start thinking about that brother or sister, and then now it starts the separation, right? So, you know, the truth will set us free, right? So there was nothing true about that. And so, you know, we've got to see that the devil is working. Now I'm going to kind of lay down some foundation. We're going to go into this. Now, last few lessons beforehand in February, we were talking about the basis of Revelation and the church ages. And I'd like to bring up this slide because what we're trying to reach, and it'll explain it a little bit if you can bring it up, but the Christian journey of what God is bringing us to. He didn't bring us out of sin just to bring us to believe on him only. He didn't bring us out of that to just sanctify us only. He didn't even just do that to just give us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you see, God had a purpose. Now, remember Christ, the mystery of God revealed. There is a reason why that message was preached after the seals. Can you blank that out for a second? Because I think they're looking at it. I'm trying to get their attention here. Then, yeah, if you have your button, hand on the button, then we can bring it up here in a second. But you see, in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, that message came after the seals because God opened himself fully through the seals, right? And we don't want to make some mysterious thing about the seals. The bottom line is he was opening and revealing himself to you and I. Only the ones that are searching and looking for him, right? The scripture says, watch. He talks about the end time in Matthew 24, and he says, watch therefore. Remember Anna and Simeon, they were looking for Christ. Were they any great people or as particular popular people? There were ones that were in the corner that were praying and fasting and different things. They didn't make a big show of themselves. They didn't wear the robes that the Pharisees did. They were not part of the ministry of their clergy or different things. They were ordinary people like you and I. But yet they were looking for the coming of the Lord. And so Anna spent time, hours, day and night, praying and fasting because she was seeking. She saw the scriptures, what they say, and the fulfillment of them. And God revealed himself to her. God showed that the baby Jesus was to be born, and she got to lay eyes on Jesus. You know, I want to make sure I get that fact, but I believe so is in Luke. I don't want to lead incorrectly. So in chapter 2, verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And so she was looking for the Messiah. And then we read on further here. Simeon. In verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And so he saw Jesus. And that's why I wanted to come here and look at Anna. Maybe you all can point that out to me. I thought that she had seen Jesus, but I know that Simeon saw Jesus, and he was looking for him. And so those who are looking for him, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. So in Matthew chapter 24, and we'll try to get through this quickly, but in verse 37 he says, but as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall be two in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. So this is the rapture that's going on. So it would be like the days of Noah. There will be two people, and God will take one, and he will leave the other. And the rapture will be just the same. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And he also said this, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So he's telling us to watch and then be ready. And so, you know, a soldier, because you are soldiers, are you not? A soldier, a good soldier, is always ready for battle. So they're always trained. They always have their weapons sharpened. Their armor is ready to go. They check it regularly to make sure everything will work in the time that is needed. And so he's saying the same thing for you and I, to be watching and to be ready. Ready for his coming. And so when we talked about Simeon, he was looking for that, and so we ought to be doing the same thing in humbleness. Now, let's bring this up here. And so when we look at this, so we're looking for the purpose. God had a purpose, and one of the purposes of God, there were threefold in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And so he wanted to express himself. So he wanted to let you and I know who he was. And so we know through the fall that he let you and I know who he was by expressing love to Adam and Eve and redemption through the blood. We know he expressed healing power. We know he expressed his attributes as a shepherd, as a father, and different things like that. And so he was expressing himself down through the ages. But the second purpose was to come into you and I and have total control of you and I. So in the scriptures, he says the preeminence. So he wanted, preeminence means that nothing comes between you and him, that you're under total control of him. So none of us wants to be under control in some ways. We don't like it when people tell us what to do, right? We're children, you know, especially when we're 16, 17, it's like, don't tell me what to do, right? You know, I shouldn't talk about my children and different things, so they get on me. But you know, when people reach 18 years old, then they, you know, if they're a man, then they tend to think that, hey, I've got it. You know what I need to do, so don't tell me, kind of thing. We have that in our nature, right? And so, but God is wanting us to go beyond human nature in this, right? And so now, but he showed himself to us in his attributes and his love and different things. And, you know, I love to just express to you how I feel about the Lord. Right. I do. Right. And, you know, there's many of us in here can say amen to that and say, I know what it's like how the Lord is and His love. And I've seen His grace and mercy so real in my life. I can't express it to you. But I feel it and I know it. You know what I mean? And so sometimes that's how faith is. You know it, but you can't really show it to somebody in your hand, right? But I know it. And so He expressed Himself to me. And so when I see that, then I fall in love with Him. Especially because even though I did wrong, even though I did all these things that He came down to me and to my level and then helped bring me up, right? He didn't say, you down there, stop doing that and come up here. He didn't do that. But He went down and He tried to understand where we are, right? He wanted to feel what we feel. He wanted to know what temptation was like. He wanted to know what pain was like. He wanted to know what it felt of rejection and different things. And so He came down there and He came side by side with you and I. And He said, I know what's going on with you. I understand. Now, when you look at Revelations in the church ages in chapter 2 and 3, what does He say in the beginning? He says, I know what you're going through, right? I know the trials, I know the tests and the different things because He did know He came down, right? How nice it is when somebody, when you're going through a difficult time and they come right beside you and say, brother or sister, I'm here. I understand what you're going through or whatever, or they're saying they're praying for you and supporting you. That encourages you and helps your faith, right? And so we know that that's what God is wanting us to do, but He did that. And now He's not telling us what to do, but now He's leading us out of that situation, right? So He's saying, come, let's go this way, right? And so He opens a path for you and I by walking in that. And then we see the example and then we follow and say, that's right. And He did this for me. I want to do that, right? You see somebody that expresses Christ to you in some way, in a personal way. God uses human beings to do that. Say He uses a pastor. Say He uses another brother and sister that does something or says something to you in a very personal way. And you know that it was God working through that individual to say the right word that was projecting love to you, right? And so when that happened, then you had this response and you say, God, you're thinking about me and you're looking at that person, but it's actually Christ is working through that person, right? Amen. And so when you see that example and how it impacted you, then that registers something inside of you. And then you want to do the same thing because you saw how powerful that was to you. And now you want to do it for your brother or sister. And so that's the power of the example that Jesus gave because He did it to us and it impacted us so much that we want to do it for our brothers and sisters. He saved us and so we want to help save the other brothers and sisters because He showed us what it was like. And so now they can't see it, but I didn't see it before, but He did something in a way that got my attention and brought me out.
Amen.
And so now He's coming down to our level. And so He's bringing us up. Now, we went through this a little bit. And so this is the process of God bringing us to the perfection. God bringing us to true that we're under His preeminence and under His control. Amen. So now, if you look at this, obviously this is the tabernacle. And you see different writings in here because when you look in the message of the hour, Brother Branham brings different things, and these are all from the scriptures, about redemption and how God is bringing us through the different processes of redemption. But, sometimes it's nice to bring it all together because he did that actually in the message of the hour. There are so many things that we isolated and compartmented in the scriptures and the message, but when the message of the hour came forth, it was tying those things together. The loose ends, there were so many questions, now there's answers too. And so everything that we have a question about is in Christ. And this message is Christ. Now, I'm going to explain that a little bit better here, because remember the spirit in which the message came forth, that is Christ. You understand what I'm saying? And so the spirit in which the Bible came forth, that's Christ. And so you must catch the revelation of the Spirit of God that's moving through the message of the hour, that's moving through the Scriptures, right? And so he says different things for us to take it and understand what he's saying. So he says, you must read between the lines, right? So he's saying, for example, you know, I write a letter to my wife, and it says different things. I did this and different things. And so if Brother Mike may read that letter, it's going to be facts, right? But I know a language between her and I that he knows nothing about. I know what she likes. You know, I won't go into those things. You guys would laugh a lot. If she says what I like, you guys would laugh a lot. But I know what she likes in particular. And if I do those things, I know that makes her happy. But if I do other things that may make somebody else happy, it doesn't do anything for her, right? So for example, roses, she doesn't care about roses. So I don't do it, right? But you would think, oh, she should like roses. She doesn't. She thinks it's a waste of money. So she's very practical, right? And so you've got to speak in the language that the other person understands. And so there's a spirit, there's a reading between the lines that God is speaking to us through the message of the hour and through the Scriptures. Amen. But you've got to catch the Spirit, and then you can understand. But you've got to know Him. That's why we have to have a relationship with Him. That's why He wants us to come into the closet, the prayer closet, and to get to know Him and spend time with Him so we can understand who He is and be able to speak to Him, because it's a secret actual language. Just like any other relationship, if you have no relationship with somebody, you don't know how to talk to them. You don't know what makes them happy. You don't know what makes them sad and different things. You have to get to know somebody, right? You know, our brothers and sisters, we have to get to know them. And, you know, brothers getting to know brothers, sisters getting to know sisters, family members getting to know family members, because God wanted a family. And so He created a family. Because He loved fellowship. And so that is the pattern for us. Now, so He's bringing us, so He called us, and the waters of separation, and we won't go into that too much, but remember the washing of water by the Word, but the Word separates us and brings us into Christ. And so we're on the journey to go up to the most holy place, because that's where you and I are in Christ are together, and we're one, right? But there's a way to go, because when you come in first, then you have all kinds of things on you. And God's got to clean that off. And then eventually He cleans you off to a certain point that now that you are ready to receive the Holy Ghost. So He's got to get rid of all those dirty demons that are on you, smoking, drinking, all those dirty habits and different things, and make you into a position that you're ready. And if you look into Ezekiel, I can't remember, 36 or something like that, but He's got to change your heart. He's got to give you a new heart. He's got to give you a new spirit. That spirit is to help you get along with His Spirit. It's not the Holy Ghost. And so He's giving you these things, and He's working in grace the whole time, bringing you closer to Him. So don't get caught up in all the mechanics and different things, but walk with Him. Step by step. You see, when you first came here, you didn't know what next you had to do. But you knew you wanted to follow God. And God does not make it clear for you. Why? Because He's trying to get you to rely on Him. Amen. Didn't you have so many questions when you came to this message of the hour? You said, what about this? What about this? I don't know what to do this. Should I move here or should I do this? I don't know. I have got lots of questions, right? It's because He's looking for you to try to find them by searching, by praying, by working and different things like that. And then God begins to open up these little things, and You know, if you just give everything right away, you never appreciate it. And so he wants you to be patient. And then now he's building things into you that he needs you to have, right? And so now, but he wants you to be totally focused on him. You don't look ahead, you know, because if he gave you the answer from 10 years down the road, then you just, you know, you cruise along and you wouldn't do the things that he wanted, but he wanted you to be following him one inch away. And so I don't know what to do next. I don't know what to do next. I don't know. That's a good thing. So now, so he's going to bring you in to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a born-again experience by you laying your life on the altar. And then he begins to mold you and shape you. Because when they went into Canaan, it was not heaven. It was not the millennium. There were fightings and wars and different things, right? There was a battle. When you receive the Holy Ghost, that's when the battle begins. Because now the devil knows your target. You've got something, right? And so there's where the battle begins. But now he's wanting you to take every inch of ground that he's promised. You see, you can't take possession of it until you receive the Holy Ghost. You can't take full possession of it until you have that. You can't get the revelation fully until you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so he's bringing you into there, and then so what's happening during that period of time? He is child training you. You're a new child. And so now you have to learn obedience and be trained and different things. And I'm out of time, brothers and sisters. So we want to get from here to here. We got to here last time, but I have to review. And then we're going to get up to here by God's grace and some of these other things that are taking place because he wanted to bring you out. Redemption is two-part. Bring you out and bring you in too. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Precious Lord, we thank you, O Father, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, dear Lord. And Lord, how can we say, O Father, and express how we feel in our hearts, the thankfulness, O Lord, about opening these things to us. Because when you open to us these things, they began to set us free. We are bound in certain respects, in our mind and different thinking. And Lord, you begin to one by one unshackle us, O Father, and free us, dear Lord. And Lord Jesus, the grace and mercy that we've personally witness and experience, O Father, Lord, that's priceless, more precious than gold, O Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would just help us, dear Lord. Lord Jesus, as we continue to walk on, O Father, to learn the things that you have laid out, O Father, in each of the church ages, in each of the parts of the scriptures, O Lord, of the character that's to be built in us, O Lord, that you are trying to mold and shape day by day, O Lord, through our experiences. And Lord, help us, dear Father. Lord, as we continue on with the service, O Lord, take control of the service, O Lord. Let the Spirit get a hold of the song leader, O Lord, the pianist, the musicians, O Lord, Jesus, the congregation to one unified movement of the Lord, Jesus. And so that, O Lord, that you can have your way, dear Lord Jesus, that people can be set free, O Lord, that the word can come in a way, O Father, that identifies and exposes the devil, O Lord Jesus, and Lord, brings others to salvation, dear Lord. Lord, we ask all these things, O Lord, have your way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.